This is Valley Edition. The Tower Theater is known as a great venue to see live music and all sorts of performing arts, dance, and comedy. But the silver screen still reigns supreme at the historic Fresno venue. After all, that's what the theater was built for in 1939. And it continues this weekend with the 2015 Fresno Film Festival. Here to tell us more about the event taking place this Friday through Sunday is Jefferson Beavers, president of Fresno Filmworks, the local nonprofit organization presenting this year's festival. Jefferson, welcome.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having us.
11 years now. You've seen a lot of changes over that time. In fact, you really aren't even showing film anymore.
That's right.
As technology has moved on. But this festival is coming up this weekend. I want to talk about the film thing and that in a little bit.
Sure.
But first, tell us about this year's event.
This year's event, 2015 Fresno Film Festival, as you said, is this weekend, Friday through Sunday. We have 8 programs featuring 21 movies from 21 different countries. It's an expanded program with a family-friendly program Saturday morning. We have a wide variety of multicultural films, international films, and we really wanted to focus this year on bringing films that are getting a lot of early Oscar buzz, films that have done really well at festivals, these kind of... Again, films you wouldn't see at the mall, basically, and that's the focus of the film festival.
So let's talk about some of the highlights that are out there right now. There's a film called The Cut. This is a historical epic. It has an Armenian connection.
Correct. The Cut is our centerpiece film. It shows on Saturday the 14th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It is an Armenian historical epic directed by a Turkish-German filmmaker named Fatih Akin. And Fatih Akin does a lot of... history of the Turks and the Armenians in his films. We've shown 3 of his films previously in our monthly series. This particular movie, The Cut, follows a blacksmith in Mardin, Turkey, who miraculously survives the 1915 genocide, later to find that his twin daughters are still alive. And so he sets off on this literally around-the-world journey to try and reunite with his daughters. The interesting thing about The Cut, in addition to being a really important historical account in this 100th anniversary year of the genocide, is that it brings together a Turkish-German director, Fatih Akin, and an Armenian-American screenwriter, Mardik Martin, who is kind of a Hollywood heavyweight screenwriter. He's coming up from L.A. to do a Q&A after the film from us. Mardik has taught at USC. He's worked with Scorsese and other big-name Hollywood actors. And so this is a really unique collaboration, The Cut, between a Turk and an Armenian.
Very interesting to see how that plays out and that tension on the silver screen.
It's a beautiful film, really important film, meditative, and really puts a face on the Armenian genocide in a way that you don't usually think of. So we're really proud of that film, partnering with the Armenian Studies Program at Fresno State to bring some of their students out to see the film for free. And we really think that it's important not just for Armenian brothers and sisters in the Valley, but for our entire community to see that movie.
And when is that film playing?
The Cut is the centerpiece film, plays Saturday afternoon at 3.
Now you have another film that's attracting a lot of attention. It's a documentary about Steve Jobs, the late Apple co-founder and CEO.
Correct. You probably know Steve Jobs is getting a lot of attention from Hollywood. There was the Ashton Kutcher version of Steve Jobs about a year and a half ago. There's the Michael Fassbender drama that is currently still in theaters. The movie that we're presenting is called Steve Jobs, The Man and the Machine. And this is a documentary from a director named Alex Gibney, who is known to take on really controversial subjects. He previously did We Steal Secrets, the WikiLeaks film. He's an Oscar winner for Enron, the smartest man in the room, about 10 years ago. So Gibney really focuses on the warts and all story of Steve Jobs. We have a very kind of glossy and pedestal vision of him, as a visionary. And, of course, he is all those things. But he also was very ruthless. He was also very career-driven, shut out a lot of people in his life. And so we've been telling people you see the glossy Hollywood version with the Fassbender film, but then come to see this documentary to get maybe a fuller picture of of the tech tycoon.
So those are just a few of the films that are playing as part of the festival. You mentioned 21 films, 21 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Is that safe to say a more international flavor this year?
Absolutely. It's interesting. About 3 of the feature films are like a multinational co-production. So, for example, The Cut is out of Turkey, but it is co-produced, I think, with like five other countries. And so this really provides this like international and multilingual flavor that a growing number of art house films are seeing. You know, historically, when I used to teach film studies at Fresno City College, you look at you know, a movie that comes from fill-in-the-blank country, and it has a certain set of characteristics, has a certain set of linguistic backgrounds. But with a lot of these multinational art house films that are coming out now, they're collaborations financially and culturally between many different countries. They give a whole different take on, you know, multinationalism, multilingualism. And so this year's festival has multiple versions of films that have two or three or four production countries, and that really expands kind of the flavor and the variety and the diversity of the selections.
So this is the 11th annual film festival. Mm-hmm. In the last 11 years, we've seen a lot of technology change, especially when it comes to video, the way we use video. 11 years ago, there wasn't YouTube, there wasn't Hulu, there wasn't Netflix, HBO Go, all of these different things. And it used to be that a film festival or an art house cinema played a really different role, or played a role in making sure that people had access to some film they would otherwise never be able to find anywhere. Has that role changed in any way? What's your vision for how Fresno Filmworks and the Fresno Film Festival fits into this world where now you can't maybe access everything immediately, but you
most of it's
changed a whole lot. Why do you think it's important to have a festival and bring people together around film rather than watching it in our own cloistered environments at home?
Sure. That's a terrific question. And it really gets to the heart of what Filmworks as an organization and the Fresno Film Festival as an event does. You can pull your cell phone out of your pocket right now and watch just about anything. Some of them legitimately, some of them might be bootlegged or, you know, not so legitimate. What we try to do at Filmworks is, with our monthly series and with this festival, is that we try to create that environment that is a little bit old-fashioned. The Tower Theater helps with that. You come into the old Art Deco space. You mentioned it's been was built in 1939. It's more than 75 years old. It feels like a movie theater. You have that communal laughter, that communal experience. Even the popcorn's a little, you know, tastes a little better in an environment like that. But the more important thing that we try is what you just mentioned, that community building aspect. That's when we like to bring discussants, filmmakers, other community experts together to talk about the movie and to create that space where you can have that discussion. Of course, you can comment on stuff on Facebook or tweet at somebody after you've watched something on your phone or on your tablet. But when you're in that space, you're face-to-face, we feel that's a real learning moment, and that really goes to the heart of, you know, the heart of our mission.
The other big change that you've seen in recent years is film itself. It's in your name, it's in your logo, but it's no longer on your screen.
That's right, not literally film. Yeah, we've been telling people the last physical 35mm film that we actually showed at the Historic Tower Theater was in March of 2014, more than about a year and a half ago. And the reason that is all the big distributors, major movie companies, have moved toward digital cinema projection, DCP. Basically, that is delivering a movie to the theater on a hard drive. Cuts their cost considerably. And so all the multiplexes in town have this technology. They get dozens and dozens of films in and out all the time. They just don't strike 35mm films anymore. So we actually show at the Tower Theater kind of a high-end Blu-ray. It's a Blu-ray disc with an old-fashioned high-end projector, lamp projector. And we would love to work with the theater to outfit them for digital cinema, but at the same time, that upgrade has left a lot of like small art houses kind of out in the cold. So what we've seen with Filmworks is we have a smaller and smaller group of distributors that work with us. We still have high quality independent films, but we don't get a lot of the bigger names that maybe would only show in digital. So this festival, and we're really proud of, I think four of them are like big international award winners, nominees for selections for Oscars coming up next year. And so even though they're on really small distributors, even though we're not showing them in you know, in the digital at the multiplex, we still have those really good important films.
Is there a group out there, or a sector of the community that still longs for the old days of 35mm, and occasionally you'll see a speck of dust or something? Is that like the vinyl resurgence of 33 and a third RPM records out there? Is there a group that feels that way?
I think there's a lot of people on our board who probably feel that way, who would love to see that return. I think with the to compare it to vinyl, you know, vinyl, there's all sorts of, that's a whole other conversation, but there's a very limited number of people that that produce vinyl. Same thing with film. There are very, very few outfits that actually produce the film. And so right now the companies kind of have a control over that. And there are lots of people on our board who would love that clicky-clacky sound. But I really think that seeing it in the space, though, in the old-fashioned space, is still worthwhile. We've had some films in the past where, you know, they look real good on screen. You know, they look real good on the laptop. But when you see them in the theater and people are laughing, people are reacting, it's a much more visceral experience, and it really changes the experience. So we try to trade on that. And, you know, we have nostalgia for the technology and for the film, but I guess we have to give it up for now.
It will be that visceral and communal experience this weekend, Friday through Sunday, at Fresno's historic Tower Theater as the 11th Annual Fresno Film Festival gets underway with feature films including The Cut, that historical epic by a Turkish director and Armenian screenwriter, and also the documentary on Steve Jobs, a number of other films as well, 19 others, in fact, that are taking place from 21 countries overall. Also 21 short films as part of this year's run as well. Jefferson, if people want more information, what do they do?
They can go online to FresnoFilmWorks.org, click right on the Fresno Film Festival on the homepage. It gives you all the synopsis, trailers, and ticket information there.
Jefferson Beavers, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Joe.